Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. What does your brand communicate about your value and your values? Today, we're unpacking how to prosper from your purpose through effective branding with my special guest, Lorraine Sugart. So welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the straight scoop on what it takes to start and grow a profitable, purposeful entrepreneurial business, whether you're a coach, a consultant, or other service provider. And today, our guest is Lorraine Sugart. Lorraine is a disruptive brand strategist. She's an award-winning writer and a national speaker. Lorraine has an agency called Prosper for Purpose, where she helps changemakers build brands that impact the world and the bottom line. The company holds the prestigious B Corp certification, which means, you know, her brand is behind a purpose, and she meets the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability. Lorraine is also the host of the Prosper Project podcast, where I was blessed to be a guest in a recent episode. So if you haven't heard that show yet, hop over there. Lorraine and I had a great conversation about our respective entrepreneurial journeys. So let's dive in. Lorraine, welcome to Life After Corporate.
Hey, Deb, I'm so excited to be here with you. We had such fun when I interviewed you on my podcast, and I'm blessed to be your guest. And I love that phrase. That was a great phrase. I'm going to remember that one. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'd like to share a little bit about how we met, because I think it's so crucial to the entrepreneurial journey that you surround yourself with other people who are at a similar stage in the journey so that you can support each other. You don't have to be in the same line of business, but you have to be dealing with the same types of challenges so that you can share support. And Lorraine and I met in a mastermind group. We've since found ourselves in many other similar communities across the board, but we connected in a biweekly meeting where we're supporting each other in a group of other entrepreneurs who are reaching for that holy grail of seven and multiple seven figures in our business. So I'm excited to have this conversation today about branding. But before we dive into the practicalities of purpose and brand, Lorraine, tell us a little bit about your Life After Corporate journey. What inspired you to start your company?
That's a great question. And I will give you the short version because it took me a while to kind of put it all together. But I went to school with the Milton Friedman kind of school of philosophy that if you went into business, it was for one purpose only, to make a profit. My degree was in journalism. I focused in PR and I wanted to make a difference. So I went to nonprofit. And through the years, I found myself going back and forth. And then at one point, I thought, I know what this is. I want to work somewhere that has a purpose, that has a heart, that has a mission that is bigger than profit. But the nonprofits that I'd worked at, with the exception of one that I left for different reasons, really also had so much red tape and were just, they did not have the ability to move forward and take advantage of opportunities or to think like a business, which kept them a lot of times dependent on grants and other outside funding. And that always concerned me, right? Like, well, what if that foundation decides they're not going to fund you next year? Then what happens to the people that you're serving? So ultimately, I was in a situation that I just didn't like the job at all. And it was actually the first time in my entire career that I had a job that I just wasn't happy at. And I started looking for the next place I wanted to work. And I kept coming back to this idea that I had of, you know, what would a hybrid of a nonprofit and a for-profit look like? And I couldn't find anything that resonated with me. And I was the most reluctant entrepreneur. I had had the opportunity to start my own business previously and had walked away from that opportunity not once, but twice. This time I thought, you know, if I can't find the place that I want to work, I should just create it. And so I did. And so I left my job in it coincidentally, and I have never shared this before. So this is first.
Ooh, this is a scoop.
This is a scoop. I had named the company. I had reserved the website and was planning to resign. And I was asked to go, like basically let go. They said, you know, we're going to go a different direction with how this is structured. And we're going to offer you this. It wasn't a golden parachute, but it was a little parachute. And right away, I hired someone to design the darn website and Prosper for Purpose. This was in November of 2012. And Prosper for Purpose was an official company on January 8th of 2013. And we had our first client that same month. So I just felt that there had to be a better way to do business. And then once I created my agency, which was named Prosper, so do well for purpose, so you can do more good, because there's nothing wrong with wanting to make money or even make a lot of money. But the purpose of business has to be more than profit. It has to be to create some kind of impact that is bigger than you, or at least for me, it did. But then once I stepped into that space, I started meeting other leaders of other companies that had this same philosophy. And I learned about conscious capitalism, and I learned about being a B corporation and even benefit corporations, which are a third version. But what I want your listeners to know is that you don't have to be any of those things to have a purpose that's bigger than profit. But that's my life after corporate story. I found my people by being really true to who I was and what I stood for.
That's amazing. And we started our businesses the same year. I left in September of 2012 and launched what was way back then Live a Whole Life. So I rebranded and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But yeah, isn't it funny how once you make the internal decision to change, and you would set that strong intention by already picking the name and registering the URL, that the universe just kind of like conspires in your favor, like, okay, well, Lorraine, you no longer have a job. So now you are free. You are free to create and free to go. What I also love about your story is the understanding of the gap in the market, what the nonprofits were missing. And there is, I work with a lot of CEOs who serve the nonprofit space, and there is just that scarcity mentality that there's never enough and we're broke and we don't have enough money. And I remember just complimentary coaching a colleague of mine who runs a nonprofit. I was like, you're running a business. You have the same needs and the same strategies that any for-profit business should be implementing in order to get more revenue, to get more clients, to fulfill the mission that you have. So I love your mission. I love how you have come upon it. So let's talk about that connection of profit and purpose. And when you're first starting out, how does your purpose connect with your brand? What is that relationship? How do you establish it?
Yeah. So when we brand, we start with purpose, and we're the only agency that I am aware of that does branding this way. And we do work with nonprofits. And I now teach fundraising to nonprofits, and I've helped nonprofits raise millions of dollars, millions. It's not my main core service, but because I had connections from my years in nonprofit, I get brought in, and it's the same thing. So you start with your purpose. Why are we here? But most nonprofits stay stuck with that. Well, we need to raise money for this. And I get them beyond that. But with anyone starting a business, it's so great to not just think about what am I good at, right? Because that may take you down the wrong road. You think about what am I passionate about that is wrong in the world or the market that I don't think is necessarily either being done the right way or there's just a need that's not being met. And then from there, what skills do I have to address this? Because if you don't have the passion for something and you don't have the skills, you're not going to be as successful. I've seen it time and time again. So you think about, and again, so there's a difference between passion and purpose because you could have 20, 30 passion, hopefully not that many, but you may have 20 passions. You may love to go rowing and you may love to dance and you may love to garden, but you're probably not going to make careers out of those passions. Right. But what are the things that you're passionate about in the world around you and the people around you? And how could your business have a purpose of addressing that? And that is such a good place to start because then all the marketing that you need to do to go forward becomes easier and your business becomes easier because you have a North Star. And that's what purpose is. It's your North Star that really inspires your direction. And when people don't start with that and consider their purpose, then they chase what they think they should be doing, typically based on their skills.
Right. And that's when they start consuming a lot of these DIY courses and building online programs because you see other people do it. They're making money at it. So you could too. And it's not necessarily the case. And we're in complete alignment because my whole philosophy around launching a business and creating a product portfolio and positioning yourself in a market is based on what's the gap. Mm-hmm. What's the gap? What's the problem that needs solving that no one else is paying attention to or not solving well? And there are new problems emerging all the time. So if you can connect your purpose to a problem in the market, develop a solution that people want to buy, and that's the operative phrase there, that people actually want to invest in. But let's talk more about how your purpose evolves, because I feel that over the last 10 years, and you and I are both in our 10th year here. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
That I feel like my purpose has gotten super sharp. Like lately, at first it was giving women the courage and the confidence to reinvent themselves in midlife. Now I feel like I'm laser focusing in on solving the gender revenue gap in entrepreneurship, that women undervalue themselves and they underprice their services because they undervalue their impact. And that's become my mission. So let's talk about what's the difference between your purpose, your mission, your values, and how does that all relate to your brand? And I know this is a compound question. So does it evolve over time? I mean, is brand something that's set in stone? Or as you evolve and the market evolves, does your brand evolve too? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, for sure. So what I will say is that you can have more than one purpose. And I'll try to keep this as succinct as possible because it can get kind of complicated, right? So you can have a purpose of feeling that you, I always use children. I need to come up with more examples, but you know, a lot of women feel like raising a family is important to them. Some don't. More and more deciding, no, that's just what society told me that I needed to do. But I think that, you know, for me, that was a purpose. That was something that I felt like I really needed to do, that I was called to do. I always loved kids. I always planned to have kids. My favorite job, I always tease until this one, was running a playground. I was a playground supervisor and I had an average of 60 kids a day. And I loved it. For 3 summers, I did that and it was great. So when I was a mom and I had a chance twice, so I had young children to start a business, I said no both times because even though I had great opportunities, they were going to infringe on my ability to be present for my girls. And I was a single mom for a while, for 6 years. And I made different decisions because I had a primary purpose. Now, over time, that was my personal purpose, right? But then over time, my purpose with my work was always to make a positive impact in the world. And I didn't really look too carefully at how I was doing that. But when I was going to put my name on a business, even though it's not my name, it's different, but still I am the founder of that business. And it was really about what is the purpose of my business? And to me, that simple definition, and I do this with my clients. So when we start branding, we start with your purpose, your mission, your vision, and how to kind of understand those. And then I'll get into how they may or may not change, is that the simple definition of brand purpose is that it is a statement of your why your business exists. So purpose is a great way to differentiate your brand in the market, to talk about why you do what you do. So if someone's stuck on purpose, then I pose the question, what is the change you want to make? What is the change you seek? Because we're all on this, you know, this journey of wanting to get to where our purpose is fulfilled. So at Prosper for Purpose, at my company, our purpose is communications for a more just and sustainable world. It's a very broad purpose. So it's, what's my expertise? Communications. Why am I doing the communications I'm doing through my company? To help create a more just and sustainable world. And then it goes to, we're strategists and storytellers. We help you build your brand so that you can affect the change you want. So we're actually a conduit to the change that we want to see in the world. We're not necessarily making the change independently on our own, although I would argue that we do make that change for the people that we work one-on-one with. But this is why we exist, to help leaders leverage their purpose-driven communications in order to change the hearts and minds of the people that they seek to serve. So then I ask people, what is the difference you want to make? And what is the expertise you are leveraging to move towards it?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a different, little bit different definition, I think, than, I think it's a little more specific. Mm-hmm. It takes a while to get there, but I really want people to get clear on what that is. And any business can have a purpose. And maybe you started your business and that purpose was inside of you, but you just hadn't articulated it yet. And a lot of times that's what I find when I work with clients. Now, just to kind of bring that full circle, after purpose, I actually go to vision next. And so your vision is your idea of what the world or even the people you serve, depending on the position of your purpose, what direction that takes. So what the world or your target audience would look like if you fulfilled your purpose. So really, really aspirational. So while purpose provides the inspiration, vision is the aspiration. So, for example, our vision is about the more just and sustainable world that I mentioned. We envision a world where social, economic, and environmental justice prevail and is embraced by all citizens. That's our vision. So
the vision is really your big impact. It's like, what is the result of your purpose? And that's very interesting. So as I started thinking about this and unwinding it, and I didn't hire someone to help me with branding when I first started out. So I just kind of picked a name out of a meditation retreat that I went to. I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. But really, I started by empowering women in midlife to make their own choices about their relationships, their bodies, their careers. Mm-hmm. And that evolved into when, as I evolved, understanding that, oh, one of the choices we need to be able to make is whether we work for a corporation or we decide to have more freedom and more flexibility, which a lot of moms and a lot of single moms want to do, and then make more of an impact with the work that I do. I'm not feeling connected to what I'm doing. And then my mission or the vision is really to close that gender pay gap in entrepreneurship, that when women are paid 30 cents to the dollar compared to men, I want women to stand in their value to be able to stand behind their worth and get paid well for it. Is that, did I get it right?
Yeah, that's really, really good. And then from there, we go into your mission, which is really the how. Like, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis? What is the delivery of your product or service that makes that possible? So basically what I tell my clients is that your mission is how. It's the how.
Right.
You live your purpose on a day-to-day basis. So our mission is twofold. So I say that our mission is to grow a company dedicated to the development of our people and to partner with clients to drive authentic and purposeful action that helps us do the things associated with our vision to alleviate poverty, reduce waste, and create a more inclusive and healthy planet for all. That's a lot. But there are more simple mission statements. So there's companies that produce sustainable clothing and sustainable products. And so that could be to provide quality, sustainable products to our family and yours. That would be a great mission statement for someone that produces sustainable products. It's clear, it's succinct. You know, you can make it really simple. Ours, so we are a certified B Corp, and by nature, our aspirations are tied to the aspirations of B corporations in general and B Lab, which exist to use business as a force for good. So my examples are not for everyone. It can be much simpler, fewer words, and more direct. So I don't want people to listen to this and feel discouraged, because it can be as simple as, you know, to promote quality, sustainable products for our family and yours, or to provide our customers products and services that make them feel more confident. It can be super simple. It really
or reducing the amount of waste in the fashion industry from all the clothing that's discarded into landfills, right?
Yeah, so
I know well, people who are on that mission as well.
Yeah. So that would be a purpose, though, because that's their purpose. And how they do it is by either producing more sustainable products, or maybe by taking things out of landfills that can be recycled. There's a variety of different ways.
Interesting. So let's talk about our average female entrepreneur here who's just starting out. First of all, when do you focus on branding? When in your launch journey should you pay attention to branding? And is branding something that just you do once and you forget about it? Or is it something that evolves over time?
So ideally, if you do your branding, like with me, it's not a shameless plug, but there are other people.
And you should.
You will do your branding once. Now, we updated our logo. We updated the colors to reflect that we'd gone from a young business, and no one would probably even notice this, but I did, and it felt important to me, to an established business. So we changed our colors, but we actually, you know, kept our logo. Well, we changed one color, let's be serious here, but we changed one color. But we haven't changed our name. We haven't outgrown it. We haven't outgrown our brand, because if you have a purpose, let's just say that, you know, your purpose is to make people feel more confident. Maybe you started out as a bar instructor, and that was, you know, you have classes and you brand yourself as someone that seeks to make people feel more confident. But then you could start designing athletic wear, or you could go into something else, because your brand is broad enough that, or your purpose is broad enough, which is the first step of your brand, that you can add to and adjust your mission statement. So sometimes the mission statement changes because you've changed your products or services or expanded them. If you got the initial branding right, your purpose remains, your company name remains, and you have the ability to add what I call child brands. So we're a services-based company. That's what I do. But I do have group workshops where people can like do their brand in a day with me that's less than working with me one-on-one. I recently launched a course, which I said I would never do because a lot of people needed PR. People don't even know what PR is when you ask 10 different people what PR is. So I launched a course. None of these were in my wildest dreams when I started my agency, but I see gaps in the market, or I see people that are doing things that actually aren't going to get people the results. And I don't want the fact that you can't afford to work with me directly to be a barrier if you really need what I do. Mm-hmm. So my brand allowed me to expand and evolve in that way. But sometimes people either didn't brand from the beginning or they did it on their own. And as they go forward, they're like, you know, there's something about this that isn't quite right. I think I got it wrong, or, you know, I wasn't really tied to my purpose anyway, or they just realize they started the wrong business and they want to start over. And that's okay. But if you were clear on your purpose, which is, you know, again, where I always say to start, you're going to be heading the right direction.
What are some of the mistakes that people make with branding? And I love the way you set it up that, you know, you have this sort of parent brand and then you may have child brands underneath, like your products, right? Mm-hmm. So we rebranded in 2016 as the Great Do-Over, mm-hmm. which was just empowering women to restart at any point in their lives and launch a new business. And then we have the Launch Lab, we have the Six Figure Accelerator, we have Standout Webinars Program. Does everything have to be, and I come from corporate marketing, so I know about endorsed brand identity and all of that. Does your brand always have to be associated with your products? What's your recommendation?
My recommendation is yes. I think that's the better way. You could conceivably collaborate with someone else and create a co-branded product or service. And I see that done. And I've seen it done well, too. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who have done it that I haven't seen that maybe haven't done it as well. But for the most part, I would say yes, unless it's something really different, in which case you start a second business. If you really can't attach it back, then that's a second business. But, you know, then we get into, you're probably an expert on this. You know, you don't really want to start a second business or even a second line in your business until you're really running with a core business. I'm in my 10th year and my first course just went live. I did do a one-year program. You and I talked about that. Mm-hmm. I discontinued it. It was for a season. It fit totally within my brand. People needed it. They asked me for it. I did it. It finished. And I realized that even though it tied to my purpose, not everything that you can do, you should do, right? And I want to do the things that bring me the most joy. And I don't want to do things that may serve a purpose for a limited time and then try to make them fit long term. Yeah. And so I've made some super hard decisions. I thought a measure of success and building a bigger brand included having a bricks and mortar location. So we started it as a virtual agency. Then we rented a really great space for a number of years. We outgrew that space. Wow. My husband and I bought a building. We moved into that building in 2018. We were there less than 2 years when COVID hit. Nobody was in that building for most of 2020. In 2021, we went back 2 days a week. And in December, my husband and I sold that building and we became a virtual agency. Mm-hmm. So the way that you do things can change. That's okay. As a matter of fact, if you don't evolve over time, then you're not listening. You're not paying attention, or you're not trying enough, right? Because right. You've got to try things. And I thought that program was going to be forever when I started. I thought, oh, I always wanted to be a teacher. This is going to be so great. And it was so great. But I didn't want to sell it. I didn't want to sell it. So the people that came to me that came into the program, I graduated them and I moved on.
Yeah. So as you evolve and change, the market around you also evolves and changes. And that's where listening becomes super important, because if you're not relevant, then you'll find yourself, well, maybe 10 years ago, you were making a good amount of revenue, but suddenly the well has dried up and it's hard to get new clients and no one's resonating with your message anymore. So I think that's the important piece. While your brand, if you do it well and it's connected to your purpose and you hire someone like Lorraine, which is super important when you first start out. I didn't. I went right to the build a website, launch a group program. Let's get out there.
Yeah, I was going to answer that. And then I got off on a tangent. I'm sorry. The biggest mistake people make in their branding, and don't hate me if you're a designer, they hire designers. Yeah. They think their brand is a logo and a website. You have jumped into the middle of the journey. It starts with your narrative. It starts with your purpose. And there are some designers who have learned to do the narrative piece, and they've been able to pull certain things out for you. And there's a few, and I will say a few, because there's a lot that, you know, it's not their zone of genius, and that's okay. I do the narrative piece. I don't do the design. I mean, I could do the design. I know enough to make a logo, and I've built one website, and that was my initial one. And as soon as I got that parachute money, I hired someone to come in and fix it. But if you're a round peg and you're trying to fit into a square hole or vice versa, you're just not going to be as good as the person that, you know, lives and breathes this. So I would say if you're looking to do branding, start with a narrative brand strategist. When we do the brand, it's not just those little pieces that are great sound bites that you can put on social posts or lead your website with. We do your brand story. We do, why did you start what you did? And we actually get to the story of your purpose and do that work and find where that thread started. And right out of the gate, you're an attractive leader to the people who are going to resonate with what you're offering them. From there, a good narrative brander will give you all the pieces you need to take to the designer. And we have designers that we work with that we can recommend, or you can have your own designer. And I actually, one of my proudest moments, and this was for a big client, it was not for an entrepreneur, it was for a large nonprofit that had acquired another nonprofit. They went from us to a design agency that just did design. And the designer that was assigned to their account sent me a really long email and said, I just want you to know I'm the designer assigned, and my boss and I looked at what you provided and we're like, wow. And the company's, you know, and the company was like 10 years at that point. And our company's 10 years, we've never seen a brand handed to us that was so clear that the visual direction is obvious to us. And that was one of the best compliments I've ever received. So,
and I want to call this out, because if you take away only one thing in this episode today, it's that order matters. And when you first start out, like even when people join the Launch Lab, you know, some people say, oh, I'm building my website, I'm getting my logo, I'm registering my LLC. And that's all great. I call that fake progress, because everything that you create, it feels good. It makes you feel good. It feels like, oh, I'm launching my business. But it has nothing to do with actually being successful in your business. And actually what I do in the Launch Lab is before people even get to you, it's like, what is that problem that I'm solving? How do I connect my purpose to a problem? And what solution do I want to create? And what are the words that those ideal clients are using? What to describe their pain, to describe their desire? And what value would I be providing to the marketplace if I could provide a solution? And what would that solution look like to them? You know, because any good branding person is going to have you go out there and talk to the people who you're serving in your marketplace. Mm-hmm. Because your branding and your website is not about you. It's not right. About look at me, look at me. It's about here's what I can do for you.
Exactly. That's so good and so important. And, you know, I tell people, and now more and more people get it, but I remember the first few years, I would say, you don't own your brand. People would go, you know, and I would say, just bear with me. Your employees, your partners, your vendors, and your customers own your brand. What you own is your brand positioning, what you say about yourself, what you look like, what you sound like, what you put forward, and how you live that brand, which we've seen so many companies get caught up in trouble for not living the ethics that they say that they prioritize, right? And so once you accept that, branding gets easier, you know, because you want to make sure that you do get it right, that you are authentic, that you are purposeful, because ultimately other people are going to be the judge and the ultimate determiners of whether you have a great brand or a not great brand.
Yeah. And some people out there are saying that your website isn't important. And I confess that I believed that for a little while. But now I see how many connections are coming through, like something I created on my website literally 6 years ago. And I'm thinking, oh my God, my website does matter. The brand that I'm putting out there, it's not just about my LinkedIn profile. It's not just about my lead pages and my opt-in pages and the programs that I'm selling and delivering on. Everything is connected and people are paying attention. They're paying attention not just to what you say, but what your brand is communicating, right?
And For sure. And it gives you that air of professionalism. You can have a single landing page as your website, but the more information that you can put out there, and there's a whole school that's against this, and that's fine, but I've seen the opposite work. We got to the first page of Google within a first few years on the terms that we were using, the messages that we wanted to put forward. And it was because we were creating content. We had a blog, you know, we were sharing case studies, and all of that was helping our SEO and helping position us. And you don't have to, we don't do any paid SEO, and we still come up on the first pages of Google for several terms because we're creating content, but also because if you want to go after a higher clientele, if you want to serve people that are coming from corporate or are in corporate or an established professional, and you don't have any kind of website, they're going to be very skeptical of working with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not even any kind of website, but a website that's really working to promote your mission, vision, values, and your brand promise. Lorraine, we could go on, right? I'm saying, okay, we've just opened up Pandora's box and there are many different avenues we could take, but we are running out of time. And I want to thank you for all of the wisdom that you've shared with our listeners today and me. I've learned a lot. I'm rethinking. I'm thinking, oh my God, I have to talk to Lorraine about my brand because I'm just such a creative and I'm always a problem solver and creating new things and naming new things. And I have a good friend of mine. We started our businesses the same year as well. Aww. She was like, I wish you would just stop rebranding everything and renaming everything. And she's so right. She's so absolutely so right. So anyway, it gets messy. And the longer that you're in this game, the more you create, the messier it gets. So having someone in your corner who can, number one, help you get started on the right foot. Number two, help you course correct when you veer off the path. You need someone who's an expert at branding. I am an expert in helping people create solutions that people want to buy and price them and message them appropriately and get sales. I am not an expert in branding, and I'm the first to admit that. So if you need someone, if you're just getting started, or you feel like your brand is really not speaking your value, then reach out to Lorraine. And Lorraine, how do people do that? How do they get in touch with you if they were intrigued by this conversation, they want to learn more?
Yeah. Well, you can go to our website, which is prosperforpurpose.com. Now that's a mouthful. And the four is F-O-R, because someone asked me yesterday, do you use the number four? And I said, only on Instagram. So it's prosperforpurpose.com. You can also shoot me an email. I don't usually say this out loud, but my email address is just Lorraine, Lorraine, at prosperforpurpose.com, and let me know that you're interested in having a conversation. I'd love to have a virtual coffee with anyone who is interested in learning more about branding or just wants to talk about their business.
Sounds great. And that's Prosper, F-O-R, Purpose, not the number.
Right.
Prosperforpurpose.com.
Thank you.
Lorraine, thank you so much. I'm so excited that I've gotten to know you. I look forward to many more opportunities to connect and collaborate and maybe even creating something fun together. So we'll see.
I love that. Yeah.
We'll see where this goes. Thank you so much for joining Life After Corporate today. My friends, that's it for this episode. We'll see you next time. Take care. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.